It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down.
Shoot up, man.
Here's Carmichael Dave.
And we're back. Final hour of the program. I've enjoyed this program. That implies I don't enjoy other programs. Had a lot of good audio. It's a good talk we had in the last segment.
You know, speaking of defense, let's talk about your outfit real quick before we get Sam on. Because it's always... So, Dave is wearing three different colors of green.
That's right.
Let me describe it for the audience. He has Oakland A's color Nikes, which are on their own fine.
I am, as a lifelong Giants fan, I am throwing myself into this A's battle. And I am standing behind my fellow, my friends that are A's fans.
So, again, A's colored Nikes.
Yeah.
I mean, green and gold.
Yep.
Then we have a forest green Hurley t-shirt.
Yep.
And a San Jose Sharks teal hat. You know, your wardrobe is kind of like the Kings. A bunch of, like, good parts individually, but then when you put it together, you're the 30th ranked defense in the radio league.
What about my pineapple shorts?
The pineapple shorts are just kind of there. You miss the pineapple shorts because of all the different shades of green you're sporting
today.
I think
the problem we have on the YouTube chat with some people, and you can join them at YouTube, KHDK, just search KHDK for live and also archived shows, is it's a similar problem we have in society. You're so busy looking on the surface that you're not understanding the substance. You know what I mean? You're not understanding the substance. Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman were talking yesterday on their Yellow Back and Forth show, and Marvin Bagley's name came up. Here's what Stephen A. had to say.
He negated Jokic to some degree. He dropped 20 and 10 last night. He's been very consistent throughout these playoffs and deserves a lot of credit. And if he continues to do that, he deserves all the praise that Max has given him, and I'm not knocking that. On a side note, you brought up Marvin Bagley. He's been pretty much hurt the last 2 years, so I'm not going to get on him. Missed about 29 games this past season. Missed about damn near 70 games the season before that. It's been injury prone. I get it. But if you Marvin Bagley, we're going to remind you again, my brother, member of the Sacramento Kings. You got DeAndre Ayton now. You got Luka. You got Trey. And in the middle is you. You're on the verge of being considered Darko Milicic, all right? Get it together, my brother. You got to be in that mix, okay? So get your health right and get ready to validate.
Don't want to be known.
Marco Baglichek, am I right?
You know what? I'm going to just absolutely stand in front of Marvin Bagley, which doesn't do much. He's far bigger than
me. He's way taller.
Thanks, Stephen A. Number one, I'm sure Marvin is completely unaware that other members of the draft class are doing well. I'm sure it has not occurred to him. And
really? Well, if you follow Team Bagley, it hasn't.
I'm not talking about Team Bagley. I'm talking about Marvin. And secondly, thanks, Stephen A., because I'm sure Marvin has never sat around and been like, no, I'm just going to keep getting injured. It's what I want.
He didn't lie, though.
Well, he didn't. It's just like me saying, hey, Jay, on your way home, I don't want to jinx it. Hey, Jay, when you go home today, remember to wipe after you go to the bathroom. It's a pointless, worthless statement. Of course Marvin knows this, and of course Marvin doesn't want to be injured. Find me a point or be constructive in your criticism. That's not constructive criticism. That's just reading the news.
At least he didn't lie.
Anyway,
that's a start.
We have to go to our next guest. This is quite interesting as I look off in the distance here. What in the heck? I mean, we. I thought he was on the phone.
No, he's live on location.
Is he? You know, they have live traffic updates sometimes with people. We have coming in via helicopter from the Athletic. I don't know why he's traveling by helicopter, but that's just who he is, I guess. It's that Athletic money. The one, the only, Sam Amick. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing well. This is a familiar song.
It's a familiar song or sound?
Sound, yes.
Sam Amick has
I can't quite place it.
I've said all morning, I love talking to Sam each and every week, and Sam is a real life friend, not just a radio friend. I'm really looking forward to talking to him today. First off, I'll say I'm really looking forward to talking to him. And full disclosure, we had an off-air conversation because I know that he is okay. I know that he is safe. I know that his family is okay. So first and foremost, we had a real conversation about that. But as you should always do with friends that suffer from something or run into something or whatever, you make sure they're okay first. And once you've established that, and you care, then you just drag them mercilessly. So, Sam, you were in Hawaii with your lovely family for some reason during the NBA playoffs, but we'll get to that later. And you were on a hike, and gosh, something happened on that hike. Would you mind filling in the audience that doesn't follow you on Twitter?
Sure. Yeah. So we went on a hike and we were almost done. It was probably almost 2 hours. Beautiful hike. Anybody who's been to Oahu, it's the Manawili Falls hiking trail.
Uh-huh.
And about 15 minutes from the end of the hike, and I was feeling great. You know, I mean, I'm not a triathlete by any means, but I get my cardio in, and so I was feeling good, you know what I mean? And then I basically stepped on a root, turned the ankle, which I've done dozens of times before in my old pickup basketball days. Mm-hmm. And so I knew the feeling well, and it hurt a lot. And a few cuss words came out. And then I was telling the family, all right, I've been through this before. We need to go like now. And I'm talking like, I need to basically run and get over the pain because it's going to swell up so much that I'm not going to be able to walk out of the woods.
Mm-hmm. Sam, I don't want to cut you off, but in your article, you even said you used some bad words in front of your children.
That. He said that right in front of the family.
Yes. I've never quoted any of my kids before. I quoted my 14-year-old writer, and the direct quote was that he heard some F's, some B's, and some SH's, but mostly just F's.
Real quick, because I think this is important, and I'm glad Jay brought it up. I even made a note here to follow up. So since we stopped down for this, was this very much for your children like a similar situation Ralphie was in when the furnace went out in A Christmas Story and Darren McGavin was launching bombs that they had never heard before?
I heard words I'd never heard before.
Are you worried that one of your children will at some point be beating up the school bully at school and launching these words out of his mouth and then, of course, blaming dad for it? Is that in the back of your head?
Yes, I'm worried. And it always comes back to this person. If they're going to blame anybody, it should be Drunk Neighbor John. You know, the way he talks in our, you know,
that's
right.
Your alibi.
That's my alibi.
All right. So anyway, so your ankle is about to swell up. You're launching F-bombs.
So I'm launching F-bombs. And I mean, jokes aside, the key thing that I am so happy about is that my family didn't listen to me, and I swear to you, they're looking at me like I'm a ghost, and I'm sitting there going, what is going wrong here? And they said, you're not going anywhere, you need to sit down. And they explained it's because you're like beyond pale, and they said they felt like it was even yellow,
which hikes your anxiety all the way up, by the way, when people say that now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I really, it was like I you know, beyond, like, you know, when you have something on your face and people are looking at you funny.
Yeah.
It's like,
right,
this, you know, it was strange. So thankfully, I sat down, because if I had kept hiking, who knows what might have happened. Because about 30 seconds later, after I got really, really nauseous and really, really dizzy, and felt like, you know, that you hear it in the movies, just where the lights are starting to go out. I'd never passed out before. And at the time, I mean, the scary thing is I didn't know if it was just a passing out. But I black out. I'm out for, they say, between 1 to 2 minutes, you know. And then I wake up, and they're pretty scared, and they've already called 911. I'm looking at my wife, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, I'm so stupid, because I literally thought, like, man, honey, I'm going through something here. Why are you on the phone with somebody? Who are you talking to? And it's right. Like, oh, 911. Got it. Okay. So then, I mean, it all happened so fast, and the craziest part was you feel like now you're kind of just getting caught up in the system, meaning, like, I'm literally now being told there's a helicopter coming, and I'm going, wait a minute, what? Like, what? You know, so it got even weirder. I, you know, me being a cheapskate occasionally, like I am, I was worried about the money, right? And so now I'm calling 911 back and saying, who's paying for this?
Right. I'm with you on that. That's a total dad move. I completely understand right. that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So they told me to calm the hell down and just that this was protocol and I didn't, you know, that wasn't part of it. So yeah, the chopper comes and to speed the story up a little bit. I mean, they put me in a big canvas, you know, sack basically.
Right.
And I had this dude named Sean, one of the medics or one of the fire guys, escort me about 100 feet below the chopper and get pulled out of the jungle for probably about 2 or 3 miles. Literally flying 500 feet above the ground.
Speaking of SAC, I am just curious, in what relation were you to the guy that was escorting
really
you out?
I can't hear you.
I am wondering, in what relation were you to the guy that was he cradling you like a baby? Where was your face? Where was he as you were riding out? I'm trying to illustrate this.
Seen the video, so you know the answer to the question.
So you get carried. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think this is politically correct enough. I'm just, someone texted me and was, they reminded me of the old SNL skit, the ambiguously gay duo.
Oh,
and
yes.
It was like, yeah, it had a little bit of that right. going on. Yeah.
Was it, were you at any point tempted, and I know this might be a breach of protocol, were you at any point tempted to film the ride out?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of still wish I did, except that I have some pride and there was like a manly aspect to this, like this other man who's younger than me, you know, stronger than me, fitter than me, would have just been looking at me like for however long the ride was, you know, 10 minutes. I think it would have been offensive to what they do for a living. It's not
sure,
we weren't there for fun. But you're also sitting there going, oh my God, it doesn't matter how I describe this ride.
Yeah.
People are not going to understand it because the jungle, there was no break in the treetops. You know what I mean? And it's just rich green, incredible Jurassic Park type territory. And, you know, and you're sitting there extremely high above the ground, you know, and I'm also thinking to myself like, well, this would be a bummer if I turned an ankle and then ended up getting, you know, dropped to my death because you know, I was a pansy and I couldn't hobble out of the jungle. Right. So.
Well, we are incredibly happy that you're safe. I feel more for your wife and kids than I do you because you're the goofus that broke the ankle. Yeah. But it sounds like, and you told me this off the air, everybody's, if they're not laughing about it, they're smiling about it now. So we're extremely happy, Jay, that he's okay.
Yeah. Can I do something?
Yeah.
I know you're going to be mad at me.
Oh, God.
Can I ask Sam a basketball question? Because Sam has written a nice article for The Athletic. It's out right now.
Right.
At The Athletic. Make sure you get yourself a wonderful subscription. We'll tell you how to do that at the end of the segment.
Sam A. Medical Fund. Supported.
Sam, you dropped a little news about the Portland Trailblazers coaching search, right. And I'll let you say who it is, but I got to lead with this. Given Neil Olshey's comments about the Trailblazers' defense, the coach you mentioned is an interesting name, is it not?
It is, Jay, although I admittedly, it's funny, when you write that thing like this, I literally told my editor last night, like, as always, we're not trying to get someone in the job. We don't mm-hmm. represent these people. We're not trying to campaign, but I am a sucker for context. So the only part where I would push back a little bit on that, and listen, the narrative is the narrative. Mike D'Antoni is an offensive-minded genius and a defensive-minded dolt, for lack of a better way of putting it. Like, that's the narrative. I don't think it's accurate when it comes to his recent resume. And I mean, I wrote in the short story that the Rockets in his 4 years, I don't have it committed to memory, but I think they were 16th, 17th, 18th, and 7th in defensive ranking. They had 1 year where they were really, really good. And if you even go back to the Phoenix Suns days, and this is a stretch, admittedly, but the way we analyze defense has changed a lot in the last 20 years. And those Suns teams were a little bit misjudged based on the fact that points per possession matters a lot more than points per game. And that's a distinction that didn't exist back then. And so, yeah, they weren't a defensive team. They were bad defensively, but they weren't atrocious like everybody thought. So I don't know. I mean, it's a hell of a lot better than the Blazers of last year that were 29th. And to me, the interesting part of him is a name. And if I had to handicap it, I don't think he'll get it because of everything you already kind of hit on. The Neil O'Shea, the Portland GM, has made it real clear he wants a defensive guy. But I don't know that they can take a risk on an unproven coach with Damian Lillard's future being somewhat tenuous here. And I think that's where D'Antoni gets interesting, is that say what you will about his track record, you know, you have a 20th all-time in wins and a long history of Steve Nash, James Harden, Jeremy Lin, point guards who have done exceptionally well under him.
Sam Amick joining us. Sam Amick from The Athletic. Please do go to theathletic.com or The Athletic app, as I do, and join and read. Sam, I want to get you involved in a question we went over at length in the last segment. Rudy Gobert wins his third Defensive Player of the Year. It's not outlandish to think he might get a fourth. Only two players have won it four times. They are both either current Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers, and Ben Wallace and Dikembe Mutombo. With him winning three, I think of the five others that have won it three times or four others, the only one not in the Hall of Fame is the late, great Mark Eaton. Is it time for us to refer to Rudy Gobert as a guy on track to make the Hall of Fame?
Yes, okay. I think so for sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Hall is it's a tricky debate. It's obviously just the Basketball Hall of Fame, so you have some guys who – you know, it's a combination of their college and pro resume. But with Rudy, just NBA alone, he is on that fast track right now. I mean, if you think about, hey, Dwight Howard, who is also a three-time Defensive Player of the Year, you know, Dwight will certainly be in the Hall, even though, you know, his popularity rating is pretty low. You know, Rudy, this year more than ever, is a guy who we are slowly starting to appreciate him more, you know, as much as we should, but we're still not there. In fact, one of my colleagues at The Athletic, John Hollinger, made a few waves earlier in the year when he wrote that he thought Rudy should be on everybody's top five MVP list. And that he was, you know, Donovan Mitchell wasn't even the best player on the Jazz. And there's an argument to be made there because not only of the defensive influence, but he is beyond a, you know, subtle, as far as the offensive impact, it's not a subtle thing. The right guy has a ton to do with their effectiveness. He, you know, it's not sexy, but his screening ability is a major factor in what they're able to do. And then his rolling to the rim opens up all of their shooting. And he is a threat on that end as well as the other end. So, yeah, I think for sure that's where he's headed.
Sam Amick with us. And just to put a cherry on the conversation, you know, we looked through, and this is by far, we admitted this, this is a very low-rent way of doing this, but we took opponent points per game allowed, and we went down the list 1 to 12. Knicks, Lakers, Jazz, Clippers, Heat, Sixers, Suns, Nuggets, Mavericks. We had to go all the way to the Pistons, number 10, who are followed, by the way, by the Celtics, Hawks, and Hornets, all either playoff or play-in teams. The Pistons are the outlier, but do we just, and I'm including me in the media, the way the NBA is disseminated, it's dunks, it's three-pointers, it's elbow passes, it's flashy. Oh, if you get dunked on, you should have made a business decision. Oh, he got killed underneath there. Do we in the media sometimes, and do fans look at defense as an afterthought? In other words, we equated the MVP to pretty much being the Offensive Player of the Year, obviously. Defensive Player of the Year is a thing. If you win the MVP, you're going to the Hall of Fame if you're not Derrick Rose. But we look at the Defensive Player of the Year differently. Should we be putting more emphasis on defense?
Yeah, I think so. But it's not we. To be fair, I think it's the NBA.
Sure,
it starts with them. We're not coming up with our own ethos or, you know, belief system. It is the one that is perpetuated by the NBA and its economy, really. You know, Rudy Gobert's extension last offseason, I forget the final number, it was massive, was one of the few times when a guy truly got rewarded for being dominant defensively. And it's the reason that guys make business decisions and focus on their jumper and their fadeaway and their handle long before, you know, how to be a good individual defender, how to be a good team defender, you know, rotations, instincts, all those things. Those are drilled just like all the offensive skills, but they are not emphasized or prioritized by most players until later in their career, really, because you score points, you get paid. You know, that's it. So that's not our fault. I do hope it changes over time, but it's not changing right now. I mean, the rules are still, you know, extremely tilted to help the offensive player, and it's very hard to play defense. In a way, it's why a guy like Rudy is so effective, because you can't really legislate out the impact that his height and his instincts have, as opposed to all these poor wing defenders who, there's a lot of guys who are probably more than capable of just locking guys up if they had some of the rules of the 80s and the 90s, but things have changed now. So I think that's the way the NBA is built, and maybe it'll change over time.
The very definition of a helicopter parent, Sam Amick of The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com. Get the app. We're very glad that you're okay. We're also very glad you took time with your family. Well-deserved after all the bubble stuff and everything, to go to Hawaii. And we're glad you're home safe. And we drag because we love, Sam.
Well, I'm just happy I didn't get dragged by the helicopter. So that's more important.
You almost took out a tree. Props to your wife for laughing, by the way, while you almost ran into a tree. That was my favorite.
I'm going to blame the boys even more. She kind of yelled out, "Tree!"
Oh,
and then
okay.
You hear the boys cackling. And hey, John, to bring it back to John, John told the boys that they're basically like the hyenas from Lion King. You know, that those are my sons.
You got to love your neighbor, dude. All right. Love you.
Yeah.
See you. Take care. Bye-bye. That's Sam Amick. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice. Coming up next.
All right. We've got the news with Ed Crane one last time today. Once in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars. We got some audio to clean up from earlier. Well, I'll talk to you next right after this.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of them, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
You know, I have a rule. If I don't know about it, I don't care if it exists. It doesn't exist good enough. You know, I like a lot of you, dabble in cryptocurrencies and blah 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 blah. El Salvador, you just heard Ed talk about that. You know who's going to have the best mousetrap next? Is going to be the person that makes it easy to spend and receive Bitcoin. Right now, you have to, like, copy a folder address and send it to the thing and wait for the blockchain to do the thing and blah, blah. No, dude. When they get to the point where you can take your phone and just hold it up to the ATM thing or the debit thing, or when you've just got, like, a card in your back pocket, like a credit card. And, yes, I know those exist on some level, but I think that's the next step. If you're going to adopt Bitcoin and stuff, great. Make it super duper easy. Make the wallet, the easy wallet, the wallet that's just as easy as an ATM card or a credit card or Apple Pay or PayPal or whatever. And here come, you know, I guarantee you the nerds are going to be like, it already happens. Bit thing, ding, dot, bleh. Just bleh. That's my thought on cryptocurrency, Jay.
All right.
Ready for Once in
a Blue
Moon?
I will make sure to highlight that in the podcast.
Please do, as a matter of fact. Once in a Blue Moon right now.
Once in a Blue Moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
The Brooklyn Nets, formerly of New Jersey, formerly of New York.
Yeah.
Try to take a 3-0 lead in their Eastern Conference semifinal series tonight against the Bucks of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
If you live in New Jersey, do you still take pleasure in this?
If you live in New Jersey, do you take pleasure in anything?
Nah, that's a great point. Go ahead.
Kevin Durant has averaged 32 points per game through 7 playoff games as a Net. He is one of 4 players in the last 40 seasons to average that much in their first 7 playoff games with a team. The others, Kawhi Leonard, 32.3.
LeBron.
LeBron, 33.7. And?
With their new team?
No, it doesn't have to be a new team. Just their first 7 playoff games.
Oh, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, at 35.4. Look at you.
I mean,
you're a savant.
Come on. That wasn't hard.
I mean,
it's not Jay Mars level.
Could have been Scott Wedman.
Remember, you know, you were just talking about New Jersey. That reminded me. Remember earlier in the week we were talking about NBA drafts, and somehow Delaware came up, and we did the whole Wayne's World. Hi, we're in Delaware. I want to thank one of our loyal listeners. I can't remember their name, so that's super awesome of me. Who sent me a message yesterday, said, I just wanted to thank you guys for the Delaware reference earlier this week on the show when trying to think about the NBA drafts. Delaware is actually an amazing state. We have beaches, and within an hour and a half of Philly, Baltimore, and D.C. Looking forward to seeing a Kings game near here soon. A, how cool is it we have listeners in Delaware? B, this Delaware argument he's making sounds strangely familiar when he gets to the point of we're within an hour and a half of Philly, Baltimore, and D.C. That's a Sacramento argument right there.
Except, yes, we're within 90 minutes of Tahoe in the Bay Area.
I was just going to say, but our argument is we're within an hour and a half of Tahoe, San Francisco, beaches, but then we're also 3 hours away from Yosemite, which is, I'll tell you this, it's usually ranked either number one or number two in our nation's national parks.
Very true.
I mean, that or not. It always goes back and forth with Yellowstone. They have a rivalry.
But does Delaware have a Crocker Art Museum? That's what we really need to get
does
to the bottom of.
Does Delaware have a Does Delaware have the rafting that Sacramento does?
Does Delaware have the culinary options that Sacramento does?
Complex sports. Of course not. You don't ever hear anybody being like, oh, that Delaware cuisine is amazing.
I've never heard anybody say anything about Delaware, so I'm happy
you
to learn
did.
That they have. That's literally the first time in almost 36 years on this planet that I have somebody tell me something attractive about Delaware.
Delaware, the first state. Number one in the union.
Oh, there's a reason to visit
first
it.
First state, Delaware.
Yep. Just want to touch down in Delaware so I can say, hey, you know, I went to the first state in the union.
Complex Sports put out a tweet a few minutes ago. Their podcast they just put out is with Marvin Bagley on proving doubters wrong and the 2018 draft class, amongst other things. We will be clipping this up. By we, I mean Jay. And we'll have it for you. I just want to give you your proper credit.
Okay, appreciate
it. And we will have this for you tomorrow. Very interested to see what he has to say. All right, I want to clean up some. We've had some great audio today. Luke Williams of the Philadelphia Phillies, his first start in front of his family at home in Philly, playing for the Phillies. 0-1 count, two outs, down 1-0, man on first. Oh, my God, could it happen? I said, could it happen?
Fly ball, left field. Already is one back toward the wall. It did creep into everybody's mind. It's a two-run walk-off home run. Luke Williams. Yes, sir. How about this welcome to Philadelphia?
I think we know who we're going to interview, partner.
Hey, you know, it's going to be the kid that got the dinker, partner.
So, well, they had
great color analyst.
Hey, listen, guess what? find the lie, because on the post game, here's Luke Williams.
Well, Luke, I know you mentioned your family. We've showed them a lot the last couple of days. And I know it's great that, like you said, it's great to have them witness this. I mean, what is that like to give them this gift?
You're gonna make me cry.
Sorry.
Can't even explain it. It's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
It's very awesome.
It's like being a Sacramento kid hitting the game-winning three for the Kings.
LeBron James changing his number to six. Signifying the amount of...
How did we go this long without talking about the biggest story in sports?
It's the amount of wins the Lakers would have needed just to reach the conference finals.
Factually
That's
speaking.
Why he did it. Sean Cunningham, our good friend, talked to Charles Barkley yesterday. I still don't know why, but hey, screw it. And
they're friends, bruh.
I guess.
And Sean commands an audience whenever he is on a Zoom call.
Well, this Zoom call had an audience. You'll hear him in the background. He asked Charles Barkley if there's anything to be encouraged about with our Sacramento Kings.
Being that it is Sacramento, and we know you'd like to just tell the truth and not be negative. I know it's been 15 years for the Sacramento Kings, no playoffs. Is there any hope in sight? Do you see anything to be encouraged about with that organization?
You know, I do not. Unfortunately, I do not. I'm a big De'Aaron Fox fan, but I don't see anything to make me say. I love watching De'Aaron Fox play, but man, I hate saying that too, because I actually like Sacramento. I think it's an underrated city. I've enjoyed my time there. So I spent a good amount of time there with my boss, Tara August, who runs all talent at TNT. And so I've been up there quite a few times just to hang out with her and her family. And I like the city. And I will say this, when they first got to the NBA, I thought they had one of the best fan bases in the world. And when Chris Webber got there, it was even better. But I got to be honest with you, man, I am perplexed why they are not getting better. Like the Atlanta Hawks, you're like, oh man, they're getting better. And you see they win a series and got a really good shot of winning against Philadelphia. But I have no idea what the hell going on, because I'm not there. It's something going on in the organization. It's got to start because they get lottery picks every year, as long as I can remember. And I'm like, man, you should be getting better, and they're not getting better.
So I'll say what we said earlier. I mean, he did forget about Tyrese Haliburton, but listen, I get what he's saying. He's not wrong. You know, we get a lottery pick every year, and other teams are getting better, and we're not. This is the same thing in the late 90s. At some point, trust me when I say, I'm going to make a hard statement here. At some point, the Kings will be back in the playoffs.
Whether or not we'll be alive is a completely different story.
But they will. You fail until you don't. I hope that is a prelude to
a big trade. Big trade. Need a big trade.
Much better thing.
Can we get a big trade
in the future? Everyone counts us out. Everyone's counting us out, Jay.
Well, David, yeah. Dare I say, when you miss the playoffs for, I don't know, 15 straight years and tie an NBA record, I would say people have reason to count out the Kings.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that's your opinion.
And a damn fine one.
My opinion is that there's no better place, just no better place, to buy a vehicle. None! Than with my friends at Oblet Dodge. The Dodge Summer Sales event going on right now. Let's take a look at the Rams directly, shall we? Up to $5,000 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 1500 Bighorn or Laramies. Up to $3,500 off MSRP on new 2021 Ram 25 and 3500s, plus 2.49% financing for 84 months. That's 2.5% financing for 7 years. That's crazy. They also have the hard-to-find Night Edition, limited models. Over 300 of all sizes available. Don't have your truck in stock? Use the inbound sold list to secure your perfect truck. If not in stock, you can reserve one. How easy is that? Tons of brand new 2021 Rams arriving each and every day. J.D. Power's Customer Service Award winners for excellence. See the full selection of Hoblet Ram Truck Center or HobletDodge.com. The only certified Ram Truck Center in the Sacramento Valley. No hassle, no pressure, ever dealership. Hoblet Dodge. Best prices. Best selection. Period.
That was nice.
Drew, coming up next.
Drew, head on up to Hoblet. Let me know. I love it when you send me pictures of your new Hoblet draft. I really do. What's on tap? Coming up next. And we have a very special crossover today. I'm going to try something that will probably crash and burn. I'm going to try the first ever crossover magic trick. We'll do all that right after this.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by...
I honestly have nothing for you right now. I'm just still perplexed at our YouTube chat. I'm sorry, it has steered me away from what I should have been doing and going out and selling this sponsorship and getting us a sponsor. I apologize.
I'll help you out. Let me fill in. Brought to you by Bad Ideas. Jay had one during the break. Jay said,
that's subjective.
Jay said to me, hey, we should have a meetup with all the YouTubers. My answer, I'll give you the answer on the air, Jay. It's not a bad idea. I 100% think you should do that.
Don't volunteer. Go collect data, so to speak.
I'm here for that, and I think you should set it up. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what. I'm serious about this. You pick the establishment.
Okay. Here.
Oh, this is dangerous. I'll pick up the tab.
Tubers, how do y'all feel about dinner at Ruth's?
Wait, there's
Chris.
An asterisk.
Ah, damn it!
Minus the booze.
So it's free.
As a matter of fact, why don't we? I'll pick the establishment. Pick your local fire wings. I got you.
Mine?
Yeah, whichever one you want.
Delta Shores, what up?
Nets and Bucks at 4:30. Clips Jazz at 7 o'clock. Game two, Clippers Jazz. I'm very excited for that. And can the Bucks win a home game? They're favored by 3.5. I find that incredibly interesting. Nets have only lost one game thus far in the playoffs, and that was to the Celtics.
And that loss was more of an aberration.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. No disrespect to the Celtics, but yeah. Crossover. I want to get to something, so let's move it along here.
Hold on.
Crossover question posed by. Oh, by the way, I was listening live yesterday when we talked about the Ori clip yesterday, where he said between Shaq and Hakeem, who was better? He said Hakeem. I asked Jason and Doug that question. You might remember. Doug did not hesitate. I said, "Do you agree with Robert Ori?" He goes, "Yep, yes, I do." And then he went into the whole breakdown. There was no thought on Doug's mind. Crossover? Wow.
Crossover.
Okay.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
All right, DC, on our crossover, the last couple days have been so fun in studio to watch the Women's College World Series, the Softball World Series.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Most of it.
I would agree with that part, actually.
We get some crowd shots of the parents of these... air quotes, student athletes. But the parents, what's wrong with these parents?
They wilding off, pulling off jerseys, yelling at the referees. They getting at it.
Yes. So, guys, our question for you, we're going to give you three sports to rank. The sports parents. What do we got, Doug? Pop Warner football.
AAU basketball.
And women's softball.
Give it a ranking, man. I am telling you. And if you haven't, go check them out at a gym or diamond near you.
Yeah, best to worst or worst to best. I don't know which one. But.
Yeah, your call. We'll be listening.
That's tough.
It's not tough at all. Get to that in a second. Glad you guys brought that up. By the way, Florida State had the early lead. It was a pitcher's duel, 2-1. And then Oklahoma exploded and ended up taking the lead in the eventual win. They go to a Game 3 championship today, Florida State, Oklahoma. For all the marbles, I've watched every second of these games. I know exactly what they're talking about. And, yes, we talked yesterday. I don't really like the cheers, you know, in the dugout. Oh, it's kind of hokey to me. What? Oh, Boomer doesn't like fun. Not just, you know. And yes,
Boomer Sooner?
The parents are out of pocket, that's for sure. But the rankings are as follows.
Let's see. If we're on brand.
They're 100% as follows.
And we're ranking these from worst to least worst.
The absolute worst belong in their own category. AAU basketball.
All right, that was my number one.
Pop Warner football, number two.
That was my number two.
And
we're right
softball,
here.
Although out of pocket a little bit, number three. But it is AAU basketball with the top 10, and then like way down the list, Pop Warner football.
AAU basketball, mom or dad.
Sucks.
Is
horrible.
Every single parent
whose
kid plays AAU swears their child is LeBron James.
Yes, they do.
Every single one.
Yes, they do. They make LeVar Ball look quiet and polite.
Right. It's bad.
How long do we have here?
We got some time, about 5 minutes.
Okay. Crossover time. I just want to switch it up. This is going to probably fail miserably, but I want to try to have some fun. I call this crossover Magic with Mathematics. So roll your eyes. That's fine. I want everybody to grab a piece of paper and a pen. We're going to do some very light, basic math. Okay? All right. Everybody, don't say it out loud. Pick a number, not a decimal. Pick a number. Jay, play along, would you?
Yeah.
Pick a number between 1 and 10.
7.
No, don't say it out loud.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Okay. Pick a number between 1 and 10 and keep it to yourself. Okay. Now I want you to take the number you have in your head, and I want you to double it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Now I want you to add 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it?
Got it.
The number you have in your head right now, I want you to divide by 2.
Okay.
And then last step, from the number you have right now, subtract your original number.
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay, now I'm not going to say what the answer is in your head, but what I'm hoping is that you all didn't tell none of you told each other your numbers. I hope you all played along. I'm sure you all picked probably different numbers. And Jason, if you look right on the board, there's a nice little envelope there that I folded up and stapled. If you would now open it and read the number out loud, and let's see how we did in our first ever Magic with Mathematics.
This is stupid.
You're stupid.
That's uncalled for.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to. How much longer do we have?
Can you whisper in my ear what the number should be that was on that paper?
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
You did.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what number you picked.
Where'd you Google this at?
I've known this for years. Let me tell you.
Dave, I'm a mathematician.
I will tell you this. I'm not a mathematician. Somebody got me with this. But I will tell you this. The amount of free drinks I've won at bars back in the day off of doing that with dice.
Root beers, huh?
Lots
of root beers?
There was one guy who made me do it like 5 times.
Ew.
And thought I was a wizard. Now, there's people out there that know this trick, and not in Washington. And they're like, oh, that's incredibly easy. You don't have to explain the joke. In fact, if you explain the joke, you're lame. Let the other people figure it out. Also, a lot of comments here. Pageant mom.
Ooh, pageant mom is.
Pageant mom and cheerleading mom. Yeah, are just my sister was.
They're passionate people.
My sister was the showrunner for what was it called? Dance Moms.
Mm-hmm.
And so had to put every dude. She would always kind of defend them to me. But those are like to me the worst. They're some of the worst people.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're living vicariously through your child because of whatever failures you did or didn't come up with in your life, you're abusing your, listen to me, you're abusing your child. Stop it.
There's a way to live vicariously through your children. It's called when they're happy, just be happy.
Yes.
That's it. That's all it is.
Yes.
Please don't force your child to play any sport because you thought you should have made it and now they're going to make it because you didn't make it.
Encourage them.
You're really poor at parenting.
Support them. Encourage them. Cheer for them. Teach them sportsmanship.
Chris in the YouTube chat says, tell your sister Dance Moms is a great show.
That's not a compliment. Oh, it's not a compliment if it's coming from Chris. Of course, Chris liked Dance Moms.
And it is being pointed out to me. Remember, you are the prototypical cheer husband cheer mom. Yeah, from some of your wardrobe choices made you look like that.
I mean, whatever. I'm a good sports dad, though. I really am.
No, we know.
Like, I'll cheer the other team when they do well. You know, for the little kid. I just want them all to go out, have fun, try their best, work their hardest.
And freaking win!
Have I deprived my son of food sometimes because he struck out? I'm not answering that. Okay, no, I haven't because I'll get letters.
But it's crossed your mind.
Just be a good person. All right. Also want to remind you today, Oakland Athletics right here on Sports 1140 KHTK as they look to win 2 in a row. Royals, they start off that series 640. 630 is going to be the start. Frankie Montas on the hill. For Jay, for me, for Sam Amick, I'm Dave. Jim Rome is next. Love you. Bye-bye now.